Thank you.
All right, that's good. I appreciate that. But now we've got to give one up for Jesus, haven't we? Come on. Come on, Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. You know, this is not my first time in y'all's town, city, whatever it is. I came over here last year, my team from Mexico did. We ride bicycles. And we spent the night over here in a hotel. I got up early, couldn't sleep, so I was riding around praying for y'all city, and now look where I'm at. Look at that. That's really something. I really am impressed with the Holy Ghost. Jesus. Well, I'm not in a hurry, you? Jesus. Well, I got to introduce some people to you. Joy Lynn, will you please stand up? My oldest daughter is with me, 15 years old. Luis Alberto, stand up in that chair, buddy. My little buddy there. There you go. Luis Alberto is a full-blooded Mayakiche Indian. God bless us with him to be our son. Holy Ghost. Jesus. Mrs. Hogan, would you please stand up? Yeah. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. All right, here's what we're going to do. If y'all don't know us, I grew up in Louisiana. My daddy was a Southern Baptist pastor. He hated the devil, and he loved Jesus. He taught me how to hate the devil, and he also taught me how to love Jesus. That's good. I'm fourth generation pastor, preacher. Been at it a while in our family. I don't think we're going to change. I raised my kids to preach the gospel. You raise yours to go down here to Silicon Valley and make a living. I raised mine to cast out devils. We'll see who has the greater reward one day. Jesus. That old BMW you drive around is going to rust out in about 5 years. Them souls never rust out. Hallelujah. Woo-hoo! Jesus. Oh, boy. You know, you'd think I'd be intimidated, but I leaned over and told my wife, I just wonder why I'm not afraid. I fight some of the best and biggest demons that there is, and I'll just tell you, your demons in California ain't big enough. My God is bigger. Yeah. Holy Ghost. Our work right now is doing really good. Has been doing really good for the last 25 years. We're doing really well. We're fighting devils and hating them and winning. Every now and then we lose. We recover, regroup, attack again and win. We fight till we win. Jesus. Okay, go to Luke 3. I want to read this verse to you. I really like this verse. I read it a lot when I just get to know some people, because I feel power here. I feel like this is going to be nice. I like to go places and feel power. It don't matter if it's devils or God. I like to feel power. Jesus, this is godly power here. I prefer this one. Holy Ghost. Most of the places I get to go to have to put up with the power feel of the demon, but not so tonight, thank you, Jesus. Luke 3. Our work is winning about somewhere around, we're knocking down around 1,000 new converts a month right now. We're pulling the rug out from under the demon. Our work is getting really large. It's right around 350 churches now. It's big. There's been, I don't know how many tens of thousands of miracles. Every part of the human body has either been healed or recreated. So I'll be telling you all kinds of stories. Dead raisins, blinded eyes, lame, cancers, tumors, creation miracles, growth miracles, everything. God's amazing. Jesus. We've been having visitation in our work for the last 3.5 years. We didn't need reviving. We were doing well. I know most people pray for revival. We didn't have to have that. That was not a part of our prayer. Please revive us, God, because none of us were dead. We were all on fire. We was after souls and healing and deliverance. And we bumped into something else. It's called the Shekinah presence of God. And that's what we'll be into here. I don't know a whole lot about you. You know more about me, but I'll learn as we go. The Holy Ghost will talk to me. But I want to read this here out of Luke chapter 3. I work with Indians. Actually, right now we're working with 21 tribes. I've learned a couple of their languages. I'm fluent in Aztec. I can speak the old Aztec language. Moctezuma's kingdom, I can talk their language. It's pretty nice. God's taught me Spanish. I'm presently learning Portuguese and French and German. And the Holy Ghost is good, and He's going to teach me all those things because He wants to. Jesus. My English is not as good as my Spanish. You just have to put up with that. But anyway, I'm from Louisiana, so don't worry about it. All righty. Holy Ghost. This is what I feel right here. I feel this. Verse 15. The people, that's you and I, we're in suspense. I'm reading out Amplified here. Waiting expectantly. See, that's what I feel like's going on. I feel like I can feel a suspense in here. I can feel an expectancy. I feel that you are believing that possibly with a mixing of the two anointings, it's a possibility of high caliber, high powered fireworks from the Holy Ghost. Yeah, I feel that. I feel that. I do feel that. And there's a thing I want y'all to get a hold of, because Jesus used to, it wasn't this way because Americans were just lazy. But you're changing. I see. I've been traveling a little bit here lately, and I was out in Nashville and Atlanta and around. And I see that there's a change taking place in my country, and I'm very blessed about that. There's some hungry people around that are in suspense expecting God to do something. And I'm glad about that. I'm glad about that. See, when God come along and touched us in October of 1995, we were not downcast. We were not peaked. We were not on a plane. We were not We were not out of gas. We were not out of money. We was doing good. We had 200-300 people getting saved a month. Every month he's getting between 1 to 5 dead raisins. You get blinded eyes and lame people walking. It was hard for me, difficult for me to see, because these people started coming into our work talking about the wind of God blowing. And they started telling me how bad we needed it. And I look at them and I say, okay, y'all's ministry, how many of y'all get in a month? New converts. How many new churches y'all starting every month? How many dead raisings are there? How many miracles, bona fide miracles of God are there? And you're going to come here and tell me that I am behind in the gifts of God because you fall on the floor and shake. Wow, that's impressive. So here's what you're going to have to sort this out, all you that's testing my spirit. You're going to have to sort out if I'm a prideful man, if I'm overconfident, if I've seen too much for one human, or am I telling the truth? See, the problem you got with me is I've never seen a prideful human being raise the dead. You can't prove to me that pride can raise the dead. I can prove to you that it can't. Huh? So one of us is wrong, and it's not me. So there's a couple of subjects I'm convinced we're right on. Jesus. What was the name of that lake we hiked to this morning? Castle Lake. Yeah, my family and I this morning got up. I did 3,000 crunches and 1,000 upper body arm movements and drove up to Castle Lake and went over the ridge and looked at the crags. They're pretty. God let y'all live in a pretty place. It's a good thing I went and did all that so I'd be kind of calm for you. Miss Hogan's sitting there saying, yep. Jesus. See, here's what's going to happen to you. If lupus is harassing you, it's probably going to evade the power of God here in a few minutes. If Crohn's disease is irritating you, it'll run. Glaucoma, cataracts, tumors, whatever is bothering you, I would imagine that it's fixing to start lightening up on you any minute. Because it's the anointing that breaks the yoke. It's the power of God. It's the gospel. It's the name of Jesus. Because see, you're in expectancy. And when people are in expectant attitude and they're worshiping God with a whole heart, and as I saw several hundred people down here doing, and I was looking around and most people in the back were doing the same thing, there was quite a few hundred folks here that are honestly calling out for God's power. It'll probably be here. If you came to see a demonstration, your feelings will not be hurt. Because God's going to demonstrate. That's just the way He is. He likes to touch His people. He enjoys it. Now then, since we are this expected people, well, what were they waiting on? What was they expecting? They thought John just could possibly, because of the anointing that was around that man's life, they thought just possibly he could be the anointed one, the Messiah. But he quickly said, let me tell you something about him. I know something about him. I am not even worthy to bend over and untie his shoe. No, I'm not the guy. But when he does get here, this is what he's going to do. He's going to baptize you in the Holy Ghost and fire. That's what he's going to do. That's what my Bible says there in verse 16. It says he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Now then, we read that. Let's go over here to Isaiah, please. 64. Because I got to talk to you, because I get around folks and people just look at me. They just absolutely freeze and just look at me. It's like I'm a different sort of a human, or maybe I'm a half-breed, half-something, and God or human, or how could it be possible that God would allow His power to run through somebody to do the things that I say God can do? It's possible because He said it was possible. It isn't because I'm any different than anybody else. I may have a few talents that you don't have, but you probably have some I don't. I'm diligent. I'm faithful. I don't let anything take me off of what I see as the course. It don't make a difference what its name is. Prices is irrelevant. What's relevant is the feet of Jesus. I'm not moving. I'm not interested in your theology, how you can help and enhance me. I get what I need at the feet of Jesus. Well, man, you must be hard to get to. I am. You're right. Jesus can get to me easy. Everybody else has a hard time with that. But right here, I want to read something to you in Isaiah 64. I'm reading out of Amplified again. Because I was just over there in a place called Oak Ridge, Missouri. It's right by Branson. Probably 12 miles from Branson. I was sitting there and church was so packed out it was... They had to put people out in gyms and everywhere else. And there was a lady. I remember this lady coming up there. You see? She was in a walker. Y'all know what them things are? I'm aluminum demons from hell things. Y'all know those things? Jesus. Jesus. She come walking up, and I remember her, the look on her face. I don't even, because I'm not interested. Don't be, well, it's hard to be offended at me. I don't care. That's all right. But I'm not going to listen to your calamity half the night. I'm just not going to do it. You done wore everybody out around you talking about it. You're not going to wear me out with it. I'm not going to. I don't want to hear it. I got business. I got to lay hands on folks. I got to let the fire of God run through me. I don't want to sit there and be depressed because you want to believe the devil instead of God. I ain't going to listen to it. Jesus. Jesus. Holy Ghost. Well, where's your compassion? Well, I bear the marks in my body. What do you bear besides an attitude? Huh? The whippings, the stonings. They've thrown me in the river for dead many times. God didn't let them kill me. They shot me. Beat me with machetes. Clubs. They can't kill me. I reckon that's pretty nice. Es porque Cristo vive. Hallelujah. Es porque Cristo vive. Because Jesus is alive. I feel power, man. My God. Woo! This is going to get interesting. There just ain't no telling. Come on, fire. Fire. See, that woman, I'd already warned them that I wasn't going to sit there and listen to their little sad tale. And it's not that I don't care, because I do, but when you got 2,000 people to pray for, if you're going to listen to everybody's story for a half an hour, you'll be there for a few weeks. I just ain't going to do that. I'm just not going to do it. I won't. It doesn't matter to me if you get huffy at me. Walk out the door, get in your car and leave. Great. There's a lot of green exit signs here. I don't care. I'm just not interested in pleasing you. I'm interested in pleasing Jesus. And if you're interested in pleasing Jesus, we're not going to have any trouble. Okay? And this little woman, she's standing there, and she's standing there leaning on that thing. Her body was in a mess. It was hurting. But I didn't know what it was. And when I got to her, the look on her face, she needed help. And she said to me, "Could you please help me, Brother David?" I said, "I sure can, baby." I reached and got her and held on to her. The Holy Ghost took and flipped her. Boom. It wasn't my fault. I didn't hit her. My mama taught me not to hit women. My mama taught me to bless women. She taught me what was right. Jesus. Well, I didn't know what happened because it was the last service and she stayed out a couple of hours. And it wasn't my fault. I left, went back to the hotel in the morning. And I got up at 3 o'clock in the morning and drove to Colorado. So, I had work to do. I couldn't sit around and enjoy. I had to go on. I had to get to a fairgrounds. I had this huge horse barn. Had hundreds of people up in it. We had to preach. I can tell when y'all are hungry for God. Jesus. I saw hundreds of people fall where they do cows and horses. I'm talking about stuff was deep. I saw it. And I saw hundreds of people getting blasted by the Holy Ghost. I know you're hungry when that's going on. When you're with my Indians, we don't know any difference because the whole ground's dirt. We don't, it don't matter. But y'all have to have the pretty carpet and the controlled climate and everything else. Or else God just can't move. Jesus. 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 I do appreciate it. It feels good, kind, nice and cool. Feels like I'm on top of a mountain somewhere. Music's great. Atmosphere is just wonderful. It's charged. Joe, when that lady got up, I didn't know that the disease had attacked and destroyed her body the way it did. They told me, I got a fax down in my office, and they read it to me over the telephone. I just wept and wept because I've confronted this disease many times and seen God heal it, but this was really something because this lady was, her body was destroyed. It's called Lyme's disease. And when she got up off that floor, she reached and got that walker thing, picked it up over her head, and started swinging it around and running around that church. Jesus. Woo! Jesus! This is what we're going to ask God for. Isaiah 64:1. Since you are an expectant people and suspense has got you gripped, because you don't know what in the world is going to come out of my mouth next, and most of the time I don't either. I don't just sit down and plan this stuff out. I just get up here and expect the Holy Ghost to do what He said, which is, when you stand before kings, He will give you what you need to say. Maybe I should plan it a little better to be more spooky. I don't know. Y'all like spooks. I've noticed that in America. Y'all like people to be real spooky. I'm not. Because I know that exit door could fly open and somebody could start spraying me with bullets in any minute. I know that. So I'm pretty realistic. I keep an eye on things. Because that happens where I work a lot. So you got to pay attention. So if you spook off somewhere, you're liable to get killed. Jesus. Jesus. Holy Ghost. We're going to pray this together. If that's all right. I'm going to read it to you, and then we'll get around to praying after a while. Because you never know when God's leading you. I get into this turmoil. I'm a human, and I get into the emotions and the discomforts and the circumstances that build up against you and come around you, and so you don't. Sometimes you can't penetrate any of you. You don't know which way to go. So most of the time, I just choose one and live with it. And see, you tell me, God spoke to me. Really, you're just like me. Life is rough on you. And every now and then it comes to an impasse, you have to choose one. And fortunately, God was in the choice. Because every now and then you choose bad and you get busted. But He always gives you a way out. Always. God does. Thank you for the Holy Ghost in Jesus' name. Verse 1, 64 Isaiah. Oh, that God would rend the heavens. You know, I have to tell you, we've seen this. It's a spectacular thing. When God comes down the way you think you want Him to come, it's greater than you can think. You've seen some wonderful things, there's no doubt. Pastor was telling me a little bit about it. I was asking him some questions earlier, kind of catch up a little bit on you. Y'all have been blessed. You truly, honestly, are blessed to be able to have seen what you and experience what you're doing. It's great. I'm blessed for you. But I'm going to tell you something. One of these days, you're going to be into what you do, and God's going to come here and rend the place. And when He does, I promise you, you're not ready for it. Don't speak doubt on me. I won't receive. I don't care if you receive it or not. It ain't going to help you when heaven shows up. You can repel anything you want to. I say it will not make a difference when heaven shows up here. Jesus. Holy Ghost, You're wonderful. Great Holy Ghost. See, it's a wind blowing from heaven. And that You would come down that the mountains might quake. Now, see, you don't want no earthquake. You say, oh, yes, we want God. Well, when He comes, things move around. Especially human beings. I've watched Him do this a few times. I don't get a whole lot of it in my eyeballs because I'm no different than anybody else. My stamina is a little bit stronger than some of the other guys, as you'll notice after a while. But everybody bites it when the Holy Ghost comes. You know, I've been in these villages where all these unbelievers are that hate us. They hate us. They want to kill us. But when the Holy Ghost comes and rends the heavens, they're out in their front yard shaking like the rest of us and get knocked out. So I personally don't care what you believe. I really don't. I have seen the greatest warlocks in our hemisphere. I've watched them tremble under the power and presence of Jesus. I've watched the greatest principalities come and manifest in power, in balls of fire or changing people into animals or all sorts of strange manifestations. And I've stood my ground and watched the great Holy Ghost rip their power to shreds. Jesus. Jesus. See, I started this trip back at the end of, April. What month is this? Is August? Yeah, this is August, right? So I've been on the road a long time. I started over there and landed in Paris, France first, then hopped into Germany. Did some work in Germany. Then we went to Austria. Then to Hungary. Then we went into Switzerland. And then we went into France. And then down into Spain. Up into England. Then we left England and went to Australia. From Australia to New Zealand. New Zealand to here. We've been around the world, you see. And I've watched the Holy Ghost. Every country says that they've got this problem and that problem, and it's difficult for God to move because of this prince and that power. I rebuke you and that. How about that? Okay. You can't. You just bring your prince right on down here, who you fear the most, and we'll see if my God can't deal with it. All right? Jesus. Hundreds of people are getting saved in these countries. Miracles in every country. So I personally am a happy fella. Gold, silver, all these things happening. Because Jesus is King. See, when we got to Paris on the, I don't even remember what month it was. But it was one of these months. I have this guy, there's a guy that runs around with me who's a prophet. When Ms. Hogan's not with me, this fellow's with me most of the time. I enjoy having him around. He's one of the wildest men I've ever met. His tolerance and my tolerance for evil are the same. Zero. Jesus. He came out of the heavy drugs. I came out of heavy gangs. We get along good. He had to have, I think it was 13 shock treatments. I mean, they racked him, but Jesus delivered him and healed him all at one sweep. You've never met a human being like this one. I hope to bring him. Maybe one of these days we'll come back. You never met a guy like that. You can quote a part of a verse from anywhere in the Bible. He can give you exactly where it's at. His memory, biblically, is astounding. He's my walking concordance. When he's not around, I have to have me a little satchel that's got some books in it. But when he's around, I don't even bother to bring them. Isn't that something? God's power is awesome. But he and I got there. Started out to be one of the hardest trips because of resistance that I'd ever been through in my life. Everything went wrong. Everything. And I'm the kind of a fellow that'll, if it's the will of God, it don't matter what goes wrong, I'm going to finish it. Regardless. What it costs. I'll pay. And that's what we were up against. We got into Paris. Now there's some circumstances that took place that's quite interesting. We met these people at the train station in Paris. Couldn't find each other. Because my French is not that good. And their English is the same. So we had a hard time, see, connecting. Finally, I decided I'm going to the hotel and I'm going to get me some sleep. I'm just sleepy. And as I, because the whole train place, it emptied out. And we'd sit there, it was cold, and so we sit there for about an hour and 15 minutes. So I was ready to go. I don't want to sit out there in the cold no more. And as I was walking off, this black lady walked up to me. Are you David Hogan? Yep. She said, we've been here waiting and looking. And I said, yep, we've been right over there. So everybody was a little bit disappointed. So we went. It comes to find out there's a reason for all these disappointment and circumstances. And it does matter how you handle things. Life presents itself very strict sometimes. And you've got to follow the Holy Ghost. You've got to get over your emotions, your own personal desires, and you've got to follow the great Holy Ghost. That's what you've got to do. Jesus. You want to raise the dead? Get over you. You're the biggest obstacle. The devil's not your problem. You are. Jesus. I just told you how to win just now. Jesus. We were sitting looking at the Bastille Tower. I was looking, and of course, it's very famous. I wanted to know the history of it. And so, was it this restaurant? And I'm looking at these two people. They're very fine. They're refined. Their language, their English. I mean, it's just amazing. So I'm looking at them. What you need with us? The lady speaks 11 languages. She was the head engineer for the United Nations. She's entertained presidents, kings, dictators, rulers all over the world. And I'm sitting there looking, I'm just sitting there, I'm trying to assess what in the wide world she needs with me. Because I'm an Indian worker. I live in the jungle. I live in a hut. I work with Indians. Isn't that something? Every day I leave my house. I live in a really nice block house. Go to a hut. And I sit there. I eat with the Indians. I drink whatever they give us. Doesn't make any difference what it is. And I sit and wait on the demon. Because God's got him in an ambush. Jesus. We're going to beat him. Because God's going to come rend the heavens. You'll see. So I'm just, you know, I was real curious to these people because her husband was a Frenchman. She was from India, this lady. Her daddy was the second highest Brahmin priest in all of India. Very powerful people. Very, 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 very powerful. He was president, CEO of the largest food chain in France. What do you need with me? You've got intelligence. You've got the Word of God. There's nothing I can teach you scripturally. What? That woman just looked at me square in the eyeballs and she said something to me. And it's the same thing you want. I know this now. I know my goal in life. For people outside of my country. Just as honest she was to us, she said, do you understand that we have fasted 2 weeks for God to bring you to us? All we heard was part of one tape, and we knew it was the will of God for you to be here. So we fasted for 2 weeks. And then the phone rang. Some pastor from somewhere else. There's this man from Mexico that raises the dead. Yeah, we'll take him. We've been waiting on him. So with all of that, God worked all of these things out. Now I want to know why they want me. You know what that lady told me? This is blunt. We want your bush message. Because we've got everything else and it ain't working. We want simplicity. We want power. I said, now that I can live with. And we walked into there. We went to the hotel, freshened up. They had service all lined up. Place was packed out like it is everywhere we're going now. Even though I don't know any of these people, it doesn't matter. It doesn't make any difference. And we walked into the office, and when we did, there's this grandma standing over there, dressed in an Indian dress. And when she looked at us, she fell faint and fell in the chair. Because on the 18th of April, and we left on the 21st, on the 18th of April, she had seen a vision of two men walking into her son-in-law's office. Even to the way we were dressed. And that the Holy Ghost said that to her, They bring the message of life and power, what you've been seeking. How about that? So even though in your life things may be very difficult, very stressful, very strenuous sometimes, and you come to church and you relieve some of that down here in this altar worshiping Jesus, but most of you, I know you. You pick it right back up and take it right out those doors, will you? You're going to get over that. You're going to learn how to leave it at the feet of Jesus and trust Him a little bit. That was very encouraging, because that night when I got up there, my prophet friend prophesied a little bit, and I got up and preached some. There was a woman walked up there who was dying with tumors. Do y'all know, sure you know what that is? The one on her leg was up there on her high thigh was the largest, very, very large thing. We prayed for her. She just flew through the air. And when she hit the ground, those tumors left her. Yeah. That's right. There was another lady there in that service who had been in a very serious accident years earlier. And they had to fuse her neck together and take one of her vertebrae out and put pins into place. That's rough. She was in pain 24 hours a day. She was a church secretary, believing God for a miracle. We laid hands on her. Of course, we don't know any of these people, just like I have the advantage tonight. I don't know anybody. I don't know elders. I don't know pastors. So, yahoo, we all get treated equal. Jesus. Holy Ghost. We laid hands on this lady. She flew. There were several gasps. Thinking because she hit on her head. Oh, no. The problem is, the Holy Ghost, while she was down there, created in her a new vertebrae and took those pins away. And after all these years of pain and suffering, she is now free. Yep. Look at verse 2, would you? I made it past verse 1. Look at verse 2. When fire kindles, the brushwood and the fire causes the water to boil. Let me just tell you something. You put enough fire on it, it's going to change. It is the will of God to boil the water. Holy Ghost needs boiling in you. You figure you got a handle on things. You figure you understand what's going on. Well, I figure you, when enough fire hits you, you're going to realize you don't know what's going on. Because the water's going to boil and things are going to change around you. Listen, I walked up to this lady in St. Louis, Pastor Rick Shelton's church. She was bald-headed. Now, I didn't know why she had that turban on, but when she fell down, I saw she was bald-headed. She was dying with something called lupus. It was eating her organs up, one at a time. They were fighting it with these heavy medicines, but it takes Jesus for that. And I was looking at her. I said, man, you're really in bad shape. She said, yes, sir, I am. What do you want me to do, lady? I want you to drive this lupus out of my body. I said, all right, that's what we'll do. I said, now, when this devil's gone, what color hair do you want? Because don't take this any way, anybody. But I notice y'all ain't comfortable, most of you, with the color of the hair you got when God gave it to you. So quite a few of you, I've noticed, change it a little bit. Yeah, it's your business. But I told her, let's get it right this time. Jesus. most people think that's too personal. We ought to leave it to God. Well, I'll tell you right now, we did one time and it wasn't good enough. Jesus. So I said, all right, do you want wavy hair or straight hair? You want kinky hair? What do you want? She said, I want long, straight, black. I said, all right. Now, do you want that finer course? You got to understand, I wasn't trying to be funny with her. I was being realistic because y'all are strange. Jesus. Laid hands on her, boom, she got knocked down. I went back. About a year and a half, I think about 2 years later, another conference. I'm up in this conference. I got these very powerful men of God around me. They're very famous people. I didn't even know why I was there. Because these guys are very famous people. I know. I guess I do know why. Brother Rick wanted me to lay hands on the sick. That's why I was there. There's this lady, somebody had preached, then we had a prayer time, so we was going out to eat. We was all standing out in this lobby, this foyer. There was a woman comes running up to me and just latched on to me, man. Well, that's not a good thing. I'm in front of these very famous, powerful people. She's kissing me and everything. I said, look, lady. I said, I don't know who you are, but your name ain't Miss Hogan, so don't do that. I said, because I don't know who you are. And I'm not interested in you messing with me. You know, that's how things get started to get it's a ruckus. I said, you let go of me right now, or I'm going to make you let go of me. She said, but Brother Dave, you know me. I said, no, this ain't something. No, we're not going to do this. I don't know you, never seen you. This is where we stop, right here. I was starting to get excited. And that's a good thing in most cases. Some cases it gets nervous. She said, but you prayed for me. I was dying with lupus. I said, where did I pray for you? Right down here at Brother Rick's a couple of years ago. Y'all might remember that. She said, remember I was the one who wanted the black hair, long and straight. I said, oh yeah, I do remember that. She said, well, the lupus is gone. She turned around and shook her hair. It was long, black, beautiful hair. Yeah. Come on. Jesus. Jesus. Holy Ghost. See, when the fire comes and there's enough wood, it don't matter what you put on there, it's going to change. Do you understand? That's what we're going to do. We're going to let heaven come. He's going to come down. He's going to rend things as we know it. He's going to put things like in order like He wants it. Because see what's... Let's explain something here. Because I'm talking to you like you understand, but you don't. See, in our church, we have hundreds of churches. So when I go to church, usually there's 10 or 12 of them, 15 of them will get together and have a big old conference. And every time I go preach, there's hundreds and hundreds of people. So it's a hard thing to do to pray for everybody all at one time. So what God has done is He remedied that. See, you are in the old format. You still have fellowship, music, offering, preaching, prayer time. See how it is? You still are in the old way. The reason I know there's a new way is because it caught us off guard. I believe 1,000% in prayer and fasting, meditating the Scriptures, praise and worship, spiritual warfare, hating the devil, loving Jesus, fellowship, relationship. I believe all that, right? You got that? But it's what you can't do. You can't get up here for 45 minutes and worship God like y'all was a while ago. Because the first thing that's going to happen is God's going to come by the musicians and bump them on the way to get you. And everybody goes at one time. That's different. So we don't sing first no more. No singing. That's after a while. Jesus. Well, what do y'all do? Pray? Can't pray either. We figured, well, he don't want no music. We'll pray and then we'll start preaching. I found out quick that was wrong. That's not what he wanted. Get a couple of prayer warriors up there. Let them pray for a couple of minutes. Boom, he bumps them. Everybody's gone. So I'm sitting with the elders. We're trying to figure this out. All right. He don't want to hear. He don't care about our prayer and our prayer and our praise. All right, wait a minute. He's the one who told us that's the right thing to do. Now he's changing things. Something's wrong here. All right. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to find out who's got the word of the Lord. We're going to stand up, walk straight up there with our Bibles open, and take off preaching. Nothing in the front, because in the back is going to be straight Shekinah glory. Because I've tried my best to finish messages. You can't do it. Because he comes trucking up behind you and you can feel him. And he's just sitting there waiting. He just bumps you on the way by. You usually land over there on a pole or upside down or somewhere over there. As he hits the first row, you're usually in the air when the first row's going down. And everybody's gone. Our church is different than y'all's. Jesus. See, when the fire comes, it changes things. But we've got fire. I didn't say you didn't have fire. We need some more wood. Just put some more wood on it. You'll do fine. Because it'll change. I've had some pastors down analyzing this thing. I've invited a few pastors, important people, down to our work. And I'll bring in 400 or 500 pastors or wives. And they'll be all lined up there. And I can feel it anymore. I can tell you when we're going to have it. All I have to do, I mean, seriously, is this right here. I'll line up my elders. There's nine of them, nine Indian elders and myself. And we lift our hands up and we all holler in unison, El fuego de Dios porque Cristo vive. The fire of God because Jesus is alive. And when we holler that, it doesn't matter what's going on. God interrupts our life and changes it. So you see, I'm not any more used to your way. It's fine with me. Your way is okay with me. But it's not what we're doing anymore. Because Jesus came. And He changed it. Our conferences are not like y'all's either. Y'all's are set up. You got allotment of time. You got things to do. You got to get back down to Silicon Valley in the morning. You got things to do. Jesus. Jesus. Our starts at 7:00 in the morning. Usually after 4 or 5 waves of power, I'm tired and go home at midnight. After standing all day and doing what? Well, I'll show you. Come, Lord Jesus, come. And when you do that all day, he shows up. Your agenda's too strict. Loosen it up. Give more place to the Holy Ghost. Give more time to the power of God. Jesus. Let the power flow. After we get knocked down the first time, it's usually 4 hours to where we're able to do something. Then we line up 7 or 8 bands because they don't last long. We line them up. And I always start them out on the blood of Jesus. And I look at them, start worshiping God. You're a musician. And they always have fear. Because they know they're in the front line. Judah takes it to the chin first. God slams them, comes right straight through. Jesus. See, it says right in my Bible. Verse 2 is when fire kindles the brushwood and the fire causes the waters to boil. To make your name known. There is no name greater than the name of Jesus. There is no name. You religious demons are inferior. You successful millionaires are inferior. Your homes, your cars, your clothes, your wives, your husbands, your children, everything that you have in front of Jesus is inferior to His power. He comes to make His name known, Pastor. That's why He's going to come. There's no other reason. It's not because you told Him to. It's not because we begged Him to. It's because He wants to come bless His children with a great name. That's right. Jesus. Listen, I'm telling you. What is wrong with me is because I've been in lots of services like this in our work. And in walks a woman with a little bundle of blankets. And she'll walk straight up to me and hand me them bundle of blankets. And inside that bundle of blankets, I'm well versed now. There's a dead baby in there, see. Who knows what killed it? Who knows the name of the disease? Don't you understand? All of your proper teaching on sorting it all out and putting it in its place and nothing, it's irrelevant. It's irrelevant. What is relevant is the anointing. I believe that you put all this stuff up because of fear, personally. I believe that you want to hear of the glory of God and you want to experience it, but there's this nagging doubt that causes you trouble. Well, I'm here to fight that thing. The Holy Ghost is going to cut it out. The sword of the Spirit will slice it and dice it. And the name of Jesus will be exalted. I hold these little babies. I don't pray anymore. I'm going to do it. I really believe I should. But I'm still preaching, so I just hold the baby. And pray. Preach. See? Preaching. Anointed preaching is the power of God. Jesus. The great Holy Ghost is fixing to prove that in a minute. Jesus. Because you see, all of a sudden that little bundle will start kicking. And you unwrap that thing. And you take those grave, that grave wrap off, and you got a little naked baby squealing for mama. Mama walks up and you just hand that little baby back to mama. Mama takes the bottle out and feeds it. And everybody's blessed. See, you put too much stock in what you see, in your knowledge of the situation. You got to rely on Jesus. Your knowledge is very valuable. I suggest to you to study. The Word of God teaches us to. But I also suggest to you to not let knowledge puff you up and think that you're the one. The one is Jesus. It's the name of Jesus. It's the name of Jesus. He comes down. He rends the heaven. Here's why. To make your name known to your adversaries. I'm going to tell you what the adversary of God is. Anything that's not found in the kingdom of God. That includes every disease and every demonic host. Jesus. And every Christian that's in bad character and attitude. Jesus. Holy Ghost. You're wonderful. See, that the nations may tremble at your presence. How long has it been since the presence of God has come on you and you just were so overwhelmed by it as a body of believers that you just shook and trembled in the presence of God? You should see it when His presence comes. You should see it when His glory. I've watched grown men after 3 days of being in the presence of God, they lash themselves to poles, begging us not to take them home so they can stay in the presence of God. We take knives and cut them loose. Get out of here. We got to go home. Boy, you indifferent thing. You come stay with them. I got to go preach somewhere else. It's not that I'm not indifferent. We go on. The cloud is moving. You follow the cloud. You got to understand. It's great here, but you follow the cloud. But there's plenty of water. There's plenty of food for our animals. There's food for us. We're comfortable here. We enjoy here. I know. It's God. But you'll become stagnant there. Your food will turn to worms. Follow the cloud. It's moving. Jesus. Jesus. Verse 3. When you did terrible things we did not expect. See, that's what's going on with us. I felt when I was over in Europe that God was ready to take our work to another level, another stage, a new move. I don't know, have no idea its name. And I'm not interested in your version of what its name is. I don't want to hear it. Because I know God opened a window of opportunity to us a few years ago, and our entire work went through it. There's not one work we've got that hasn't, it's not flowing this power. All of us are. Every pastor, every elder, all of us. It's amazing, see. The unity. It's amazing to watch. You came down, the mountains quaked at your presence, far from of old. No one. The things I'm telling you in 5 years will be old history. Isn't that something? Because such new and great things from God are coming. Such great power is available. Jesus. I admit to you, I didn't think it possible to beat raising the dead. I honestly give you a statement there. I went to God 4 years straight. Got to see a little 9-year-old boy raised from the dead in the presence of our enemies. Black magic warlocks. Spiritist healers. Cursing me with every breath. And we lay hands on this child and God brings it back from the dead. And when that happened, An energy went in me that'll never leave. What you see wrong, the aggression you feel, that's where it came from. The things that you figure, give me a week with that man, I can adjust him. The things that you feel like needs adjusting. The power that came on me from watching God do what He said He could do has forever changed me. And now I personally have been in a blessing. I've been in on 21 dead raisings. Our work has been in on 250. That's a bunch of folks. But that's not nothing compared to what we're going to do. It's slowed down a little bit. We're only getting about one a month now. Sometimes two. But the glory of God. I didn't believe it possible in my spirit to think that there was something greater than this awesome power that I was watching. But the great Holy Ghost came in Shekinah glory and changed all that. Verse 4. For from of old no one has heard, nor perceived by the ear, nor has the eye seen a God besides you who works and shows Himself active on behalf of him who earnestly waits for Him. I don't care what I've seen or you either. I know that we're just getting started. The thing is, I know our work has taken a step. I know we have. But God's drawn us to more steps. God's ready to take us on deeper. And we're going. We're going. With you or without you, but we're going. Holy Ghost. I was in a service here a while back, and this lady got very excited with me. Mad. She jumped up because of the things I say. She just ran out. I saw her while I was preaching. I saw her run out. She was bright redheaded. Couldn't miss her. She got out in her car. She's just chewing me out all the way. She was Episcopalian. Chewing me out. And when she got a little ways down the road, the Holy Ghost spoke to her audibly. And she ran in the ditch. Boom. Yeah, God spoke to her. Episcopalian lady. Audibly. They got the car out of the ditch. She came back to the church. I was still talking. She walked in the back, went and sat down. I didn't know what was wrong with her. I didn't know what she had done. At the end, I asked for people who want to come up for prayer. She came up for prayer. I didn't know it was the first time she'd ever been in the prayer line. Had no idea she was Episcopalian, didn't believe in any of this stuff. I touched her, the Holy Ghost hit her, knocked her under the second bench. Two. When I left a couple of hours later, she was still out. Jesus. The next night, we were back. My wife was sitting right beside me. This fiery, red-headed lady comes running up to me. Grabs a hold of me. Hanging on to me. Jumping up and down. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Lady, what for? Because yesterday I was dying with Hodgkin's disease. But today I've been in the hospital all day. They can't find it. Holy Ghost! Holy Ghost! Jesus! 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 There was this preacher who came down to our work. When he got to my house, he was having a, what do they call them, heart attacks, cardiac arrest, that thing where it all blows up in there. I forgot what you call that. Jesus. We took him into my son's room and laid him on the bed. And while he laid there a few minutes, he died. Well, I don't agree with that. It's all right if you come visit our work, but you can't die in my house. Jesus. So I went in there. There was a whole bunch of visitors with him, and they were angry at me because I told them to get out. Because we was going to raise him from the dead, and we can't have any doubt in the house. So I threw him out. Put him in the backyard with the dog. We prayed for a couple hours, and the man came back to life. Right in my house. We went out and did the conference. The doubters weren't doubters anymore when they saw him back to life. They believe now. They went with us to church. The gospel power moved. The next evening, he went out to church with me. We had a big conference. He was the preacher. He got up and preached. One of my head elders' wife had had a baby in the truck on the way to the conference. Y'all's life is different. Y'all don't understand those terms. She was riding in the back with everybody else. And she delivered on the way. Jesus. And they were fighting with us. Now, they didn't tell me the first day. But when I got there the second day after we had prayed for this guy to be raised from the dead, I go back there because they called me to the back. What's the matter? This pastor, who is an elder, he's a great man, he's a blessing. His wife just shoved this baby into my arms. She said, I've been waiting on you all day. My baby died last night. It's been dead for nearly 12 hours, and I want you to raise it back to life. I said, wait a minute. Why didn't y'all tell me you was having trouble yesterday? Why? It's fine. So I called some elders. We gathered around this child, been dead for hours and hours and hours. We lay hands on this little child in the name of Jesus. I'm telling you, don't take this anyway. I don't care. It looked like a dead animal. It was a brand new baby, and it was dead, and it didn't look right. So what we're going to do? We're not going to the coroner because there isn't one. Jesus. We can't go to the hospital. Closest one is 100 miles. I guess we better take that thing in our arms like we're supposed to. And I guess we better call on heaven to come down and rend the heavens so he can touch this child to make his name known to his adversaries. Hallelujah. Because ain't nobody seen what God can do. He just could raise this child from the dead. As we walked around, we were on the side, actually the back of the church over on the outside. They're out there, there's thousands, I think it was 2,000 people out there. They were getting it. I mean, worshiping Jesus. And here we are in this bad situation, calling on the Holy Ghost, calling on the name of Jesus, and that little baby's foot kicked. I saw it. I looked at the daddy. He said, Sí, hermano. I said, Sí, hermano. La gloria de Dios está con nosotros. I said, Yes, my brother. The glory of God is with us. Come on, Holy Ghost. In just a few minutes, that little baby was kicking all over. And I handed that baby, because that mama, you got to understand, that mama was a little bit angry at us. Because of the situation, how it come down and on and on and on. And she had right to be. I handed her baby back. I said, here's your baby raised from the dead by the blood of Jesus the righteous. Now you enjoy the presence of God now. Tears running down her face. She said, of course, Brother David, I'll do that. I think I can do that. Holy Ghost, in the name of Jesus. Let me read one more thing to you here, and I'm going to quit. Because it's been 1 hour and 4 minutes. For from of old no one has heard, nor perceived by the ear, nor has the eye seen a God besides you, who works. Did you hear that? Who works and shows himself active on behalf of who earnestly waits for him. Well, I'll wait on the Lord. What about you? y'all will put y'all's Bibles up. Oh, you don't have to. I don't care if you do or not, actually. Jesus. Luis Alberto, ven. Because see, one of my pastors. Gracias, hermanito. One of my pastors carried his wife. They're going to have a big day. They're going to go to market. She had never left the ranch or the village. Never been to town. Think of that, ladies. You can't think of not having no plastic, much less never go to town. Jesus. Holy Ghost. Jesus. Well, he got back to the bus station. Because he had left his wife at the bus station to go buy some guitar strings for service. But the problem is, she don't speak Spanish. She's an Indian. She only speaks Nahuatl. So when a bus came up, some smart people around her hollered at her, Nahuatl, it's your way home. She jumped on it. Now, she don't have any money. She can't read Spanish. She can't talk it. She's got two bags of goods that they bought in the market and a baby. She's an Indian, so she gets pushed to the back of the bus. She's standing up, don't know which way she's going. 2 hours. Wrong directions. Holy Ghost. Jesus' name. Pastor gets back. These same guys that jeered his wife onto that bus, now she ran off with another man. You gospel people this, you gospel people that, blah, 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 blah. And laughed at him and made fun of him. So he looked and looked and looked all over the market, all over town, couldn't find her. Came back, got on the bus, went home. Where the bus stops, 2 hour hike to his house, through the jungle. He walked home, got there, he's very depressed and sad. His wife's gone. Surely she went ahead of him. No, that's not what happened. She wasn't there. They looked all over. So he did the right thing. He got the elders of the church together. They went in this little bitty old building. Fall down on their face on them benches made out of bamboo. Holy Ghost, help us. Presence of God, intervene. Mercy from heaven. Rend the heavens, O God. Change the situation. As only you can do. Back at the bus. The lady, the guy comes back there. He can't talk now. What? She's trying to explain to him. She don't have any money. She's trying to explain to him. She can't speak Spanish. They took her and threw her off the bus. Baby, sacks, everything. Boom. Now she's hours away from her village. She screams out to God. Have mercy, great Holy Ghost. She picked up her two little bags and her baby was on her back. Started down that mountain. She blacked out. Holy Ghost! Those pastors and elders look up. And she does like this. Look, she's not there. There's a commotion that they don't see. And then she's this way. Boop, boop. She ran into the church from the air. Jesus. 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 That happens pretty regular, I guess. It's not as regular as raising the dead. But we're working on it. Jesus. I can see I'm going to have some fun with y'all. Because there's some stuff I'm going to tell y'all. Y'all going to flip. I mean, y'all, there ain't no telling you'll be doing cartwheels around this place. Jesus. How bad do you want to fly? Jesus. Jesus. Would y'all stand up, please? Jesus. Oh, man, there's so many things coming to my mind. Come up here. Brian, is it? Yeah. Come on up here. I need some songs about the blood of Jesus, if you don't mind, please. Do you know any? You know a couple? Something about the blood of Jesus. Jesus. I didn't get the guy's name on the board over there. Is that what she's going to do? What's her name? Ms. Jackie. If you don't mind, please start worshiping Jesus. Jesus. Come on, great Holy Ghost, I bow in your presence. Come, great Holy Ghost. 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 Come, great Holy Ghost.